Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're getting all fired up for tomorrow and this big weekend ahead. Let's give you a little bit of a lay of the land here on Friday. As we head the 9 o'clock hour, we'll get to our pick six in just a moment. What you need to know for tomorrow, our coverage of Atlanta United and the Portland Timbers in the MLS Cup title game will begin at 6 o'clock, a special pregame show with Mike Conney and Jason Longshore, an extended pregame show that will take you to the 8 o'clock kickoff at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So if you're going down to the game and you're in your car still at 6 o'clock, you can tune into that and get a little bit of the pregame before United and Timbers. Also, you need to know this, because of the game being on 92.9 with the flagship, obviously, the Falcons, the Hawks, and United, because the Hawks game is about the same time, the Hawks game against Dust with Steve Holman on Star 94.1, our sister, and the tip at 7:30. Now, having said that, you also need to know that, Hugh, we're going to have two events at the same time in the same location. You know, 70,000 plus, 72,000 plus for Atlanta United at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and the Hawks are going to be playing at State Farm Arena at the same time, and so that means even more pressure on parking.
Yeah, tailgating is going to be a mess too. I mean, you know, if people are, I'm pretty sure people are going to tailgate regardless of what the weather is going to be, so there's going to be some tailgaters out there. So, yeah, make sure if you're trying to get some premium parking or some good parking spaces, you might want to get there early. But then again, everybody's probably going to be there kind of early. So just be prepared for all of that. Yeah. Or you could take one of those, what they call little scooters, or you could take the train.
Oh, you mean the bird things?
The birds, yeah. The birds, lime.
Yeah. It's bird and lime, right? I think so, right?
Or those Uber. Or the Ubers, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe Marta would be a good
I'm probably the only person call. That does not have an Uber account. I don't have one.
I don't have an Uber account, so you and me are in the same
room. We're probably what they call technology challenged. I've been in an Uber. I just haven't. I don't have the account, you know. I don't have the Uber account where you can actually, like, you know, you see the driver and you know, they have the map of the Uber map or whatever.
Yeah, I don't have that either.
Do all that.
You weren't banned from it.
No, I didn't do. No, I didn't listen. I didn't do nothing.
You're so funny, AT.
I didn't.
Why would you automatically assume that? Come on now.
Hey, we're friends in here.
Yeah.
I just wanna...
You know, I do got two strikes, though, John. I mean, it's a valid question.
See?
I do got two strikes. You know what I mean? It's a valid question. But I've been on the straight and narrow for about, what, 5, 6, 7 years now. So, you know, I ain't been in no trouble.
You're hanging it.
I'm hanging in there.
So keep that in mind if you're going to go to the Hawks game tomorrow or if you're going to the United game. And it's a good point, Hugh, because I think that tailgating, game's not till 8 for Atlanta United, so I would imagine tailgating is probably going to, by noon, they'll be cranking up. I mean, it'll be an all-day affair down in the Gulch and around game.
I wonder what Saturday night's going to be like, because I'm already kind of anticipating it being kind of, you know, off the hook. I wonder how many kids are going to be named Miguel and Joseph next year. Like, seriously. And I know people say, well, you always say that about championships. Because it's true. It always happens. When the people go on championship runs, babies are made. It's a fact. Mm-hmm. Go look it up.
Right.
Because they were just you know what I mean? It was just some Eagles babies. They were talking about the Super Bowl babies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody, I mean, it happens. And so I'm just kind of wondering, next year in Atlanta, we're going to have a run. Like, when you go to, like, the little daycare, there's going to be a whole lot of, like, Tatas running around, nicknamed Tatas. And Tata Martino, like, I didn't mean it by anything else. Just cause
this is a different age and generation.
No, but everybody's kind of looking at me like I was talking about something else.
Exactly, Goofy.
Tatas.
I'm running about, around.
Yeah, and little Josephs and Miggies. Like, it's
little
be,
Joseph.
Yeah. Little Joseph. You do have those two strikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
I think he's already closed in on his third.
You know I got them strikes.
All right, here we go. We're going to do a little pick six here and give you the winners. We have a little bonus question for you today. Some of the big events coming up this weekend, and as we do this, we're not going to mention the standings. All right.
We are.
No, we are not, Chalk. We're not going to do that.
And y'all got on me the other day when I was talking about how John liked to take over and be aggressive. That's a perfect example right there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
He's been voted down 4-1. You're on your own island. We will mention it.
My entire life has been living on my own island, all right? That would be nothing new for me. Let's begin there. Chalk, since you're in the lead here.
I like how you kind of slick this. You sneak this. Okay, back. I'm sorry. I'm talking. Go for it. You got it.
It's okay. Chalk, you get to go first here. Ready?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Army Navy, first game up. The West Point, have you ever noticed it's now Army West Point? They've kind of changed the name a little bit. But Army against Navy in this classic of air. Who do you like?
Army is 9-3. Navy is 3-9. I'm going with Army.
Well, yeah, you're going chalk. Of course you are. Who do you like, Army-Navy, Daryl? I mean, you have any preference in the Army-Navy game?
Navy.
All right, yeah, you just take Navy. Army-Navy, Wendy, what are you thinking?
Army.
Hugh, Army-Navy.
I mean, it's not a, no, it's no-brainer. 9-3 over 3-9. That's not being chalk. That's just being smart. That's just being smart.
And I got to say that I'm sorry, I can't root for Army. I mean, it's a nice story, but my family's Navy. If I picked Army on the air, I'd get looks in my family. My family's a Navy family.
How close are you to the bottom?
I still have to deal with my family, okay?
See, my family's Air Force, and that was came out
okay, well,
Army, so I couldn't.
Well, but the Air Force is not playing. Army and Navy are.
Well,
you know, if I don't
I
go
said
Navy
because
here.
They spawned off of Army, so I'm just saying I'm rooting for Army. Sorry, John. Did. John's very mad at you to pick Navy. I'm sorry you have to pick Navy, John. I'm very sorry.
You know Navy lose. Won 14 in a row from, what was it, 2002 to 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they've had a nice little role. But these games, really, I know we picked the winner and loser, but really for them, there's really no winner or loser in this game.
Gah! Tell them that.
No, I mean, I'm just, you know, everybody is, it's all in great fun, and it's a great game. It's a really great game.
Yeah, so I have to go Navy. Go Navy, go Navy, even though they had a bad year. All right, Chalk, let's get into the NFL. The go and play the team that they can't deal with, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Lest we forget that on opening day, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at one point were ahead 35-3 in Stinky Town, and now they have to play in Tampa. Who do you like with the Saints and the Buccaneers?
Speaking of Stinky Town, it's going to be a mess on Sunday. It's supposed to be raining and severe storms, so they could. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a postponement of this game for a little bit because it seems like that always happens.
We're done in Tampa?
Yep.
Yeah, wow.
But I am definitely picking the team that will go back-to-back in the NFC South, the New Orleans Saints.
Man, Daryl?
The Saints?
Wendy?
I'm gonna go with Bucks.
You are such a
hater. I picked the Saints one time. I can't.
You, Saints or the Buccaneers?
Saints.
Quit contorting. Make a pick.
I just did. Eagles and Cowboys. Eagles and Cowboys. I'm going to let Hughes do on this one. This is not an easy pick.
This is an easy pick for me.
In the Jerry Dome there, here come the Eagles taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Eagles 6-6, Cowboys 7-5. Chalk, who do you like?
Only because I don't want to see Jerry Jones on TV anymore this year, I'm picking the Eagles.
Oh, that's not a chalk pick.
Cowboys.
And Daryl's going to go chalk.
Cowboys.
You want me to go?
No, I didn't. I'm picking Eagles.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm picking the Eagles.
he's picking the Eagles. I'm going to actually go with the Eagles, too. I think the Eagles can go in there and win this game, and I think you're going to have like a virtual, you know, stalemate there in the NFC East. So I think that Carson Wentz has found his game. I'll go with the Eagles. Rams and Bears, very interesting game in Chicago. Now, we have to watch who's going to be the quarterback for the Bears, you know, because Mitch Trubisky's been dinged. But it's that Bears defense against the L.A. Rams at Soldier Field, Chuck.
I am going to pull. Let me see. I haven't seen any updates on Mitchell Trubisky's injury, so I'm typing that as we speak. He is confident that he will return. Nagy believes he will play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm going to pick the Bears because this will be a tougher game for the Rams than everyone may expect because of the Rams' record, and the Bears need to get back on a winning track. So I want to see the Rams up against this defense. Bears, bear down.
All right, so he's picking the Bears. What are you taking there, Daryl?
The Rams.
Yeah, well, of course you are. It's L.A.
No, that's not my team.
John wants to mess with everybody.
He does.
Well, I mean, it's just true, isn't it?
Well, Nebraska's not here.
No, well, of course not.
I mean, their head coach, Sean McVay, went through defenders like he knew every single player. So I'm going to go with the Rams.
By the way, it's supposed to be for this time of the year, a beautiful day in Chicago in the mid-30s and sunny at Soldier Field, so the Bears don't get that weather break. You Rams and Bears, who do you like in this game?
I like the Rams, John Fricky.
I am going to go with the Rams as well as they go into Chicago. Now, in the playoffs, that might be a bit of a different story. I'll have to see how I kind of feel about that. It will be really intriguing to see because we are looking for cracks in the armor of the two teams at the top, the Rams and that other team, to see if somebody can kind of make a run at them in the NFC. All right, the Falcons go in to face the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. All right, AT, Falcons and Packers, you know, both teams struggling. Which direction are you going to go in this one?
Julio Jones talked big yesterday at the practice, after practice, and so I'm going to see if he lives up to it because he's gone back on his lack of touchdowns the past couple of games. So put up Julio. I'm going with the Falcons.
As a matter of fact, do you have that Julio soundbite there, Daryl, that maybe we can dig into a little bit? Because you were talking about how Julio was talking like, you know, and it was interesting to hear Julio say this because he's trying to rally the troops. Here's Julio talking.
We got a plan in place for me. No, just take time off. Just, you know, get my body right. But I'll be ready to go when Sunday come around. For me, it's just, you know, staying in it mentally. The physical part, you know, I've been doing it for so long. I can do that. It won't be any drop off from that standpoint.
Yeah, and then he went on to say we're going to play for – right, we're going out there to whoop somebody's rear end, but he didn't say rear end. So are you going to whoop somebody's rear end? Where are you going this?
I'll pick the Falcons this week.
Oh, he is going to go with the Falcons. Wendy?
Rise up.
Yeah, rise up. Hugh, Falcons and Packers.
Packers.
Yeah, this is a tough one because here we go again with a second time this year you faced a team that's got a brand new coach. Mm. You know, and will he be throwing kind of, you know, different looks at you? You know, I haven't picked against the Falcons this year. No reason for me not to pick against them this week. I'll go Falcons just in root for them to hopefully find some something at the end.
All you right. Don't believe that, though.
I know.
Oh, we have a
I think I want to rescind. Can I rescind my pick?
You want to change it?
Yeah.
You want to change it to what? Green Bay?
Yeah.
Any reason why?
I'm going to go with the hunch I've been going with all year. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
No, like, listen. I think Julio's going to do his thing. There's no doubt in my mind that he's going to do that. But I don't think collectively they're going to do enough. I really don't. And there's nothing that they've done this year, like lately, mm-hmm. that has shown me anything different. Would like for the outcome to be different, but I don't think it's going to be.
All right, Arthur, here we go. Atlanta United, Portland, who's going to win the MLS Cup?
Get ready, Atlanta. You'll have your second championship.
Now, there you go. What are you thinking, Daryl?
Atlanta United.
Wendy?
ATL United.
And what are you thinking, Hugh?
Chalk, like everybody else picking.
Yep. As a matter of fact, I think Atlanta United wins, and I'm hoping that it turns into a rout and not just a, you know,
how about just
a
win,
2-1 victory.
A win is a win.
All right, final one. We got a little bonus question. AT, who's winning the Heisman tomorrow night? Da-dum-da-dum-da-dum. Who do you think?
I'm going to give you guys a chance to catch up. I think it's going to go to Oklahoma's Kyler Murray.
There you go.
Tua.
He said that with a little snarkiness.
And too. I'm going Tua. Hugh, you're going?
Chalk.
Yep, Tua. You taking anybody but Tua?
Tua.
Okay. All right. So, well, thank you, AT. That was nice of you. I mean, I appreciate your – I don't know why you did that, but okay.
No, I mean, I
– Hey.
I'm not knocking Tua's year. I just think Kyler has had a chance in the last couple of weeks to put up some numbers. We'll see if it proves up.
So has Haskins. I mean, he's put up 17 touchdowns in the last
three
games.
I don't care about Ohio State, John.
His name's not even the conversation.
Carlos Borgeniger is in the conversation. General Manager, Technical Director, Executive Vice President, Grand Poobah, and everything of Atlanta United. He's going to join us to talk MLS Cup and his excitement level for the game tomorrow night. Boca Boca 3 is next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning show on a big, big Friday. Falcons Friday, Five Stripes Friday as we get ready for and everybody in town gearing up for tomorrow night and the championship game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium between the Portland Timbers and Atlanta United. And we welcome into the program one of the main architects of what we have seen over the last 2 years. Man ought to be pretty darn proud of himself for what he's helped build. Carlos Bocanegra, Technical Director of Atlanta United. Carlos, welcome back to the show.
Los!
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Los, what has your week been like, man? I know the media hype and everything around this game has to have been overwhelming. So what has your week been like?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun to have the fanfare around soccer. Obviously, it's a big game for us on the weekend, big game for the city. So it's been fun. There's been a buzz around the training ground with the players, the staff, and then just even around the city. I mean, getting gas this morning, you know, people talking about it at the gas station in line, and it's been funny, but it's been really good.
Los, this has been a long journey, man, but I got to say this about you. You are the most even-keeled guy that we've talked to all season long. No matter what, you stay on the same plane. It has to be hard to not be hype about this game. How are you keeping it so together right now?
It is hard. Come see me at about 6 o'clock on Saturday night. It's going to be a little bit different. But it's been a great season for us. We've got one more to try to finish it off, but it's just been kind of our motto all year. Look, things don't bounce our way sometimes, or we get kicked in the teeth, so to speak, against the Red Bull or against Toronto in the regular season. But we've got to bounce back. So we try not to get too high, try not to get too low. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to be – pretty darn high come game time on Saturday night.
Talking with Carlos Bocanegra, technical director of Atlanta United, as we get ready for the championship game. Carlos, on Wednesday when Joseph Martinez was awarded the MVP, there were a couple of things that struck me when we were at the event. One was the amount of media coverage, which I hadn't seen for soccer, maybe in MLS. Maybe I missed it. Right? Just certainly not in Atlanta. And the second thing, in addition to the interest, was the nice piece of video that Atlanta United put together with the former MVPs in our town of Chipper Jones, Terry Pendleton, Dale Murphy, Matt Ryan, all giving their congratulations to Joseph and welcoming him to that MVP club.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was a nice ceremony for Joseph. He's been fantastic all year for us. I think it's a testament to him and his teammates. They've done very well. You get a lot of individual accolades on teams that do well usually. That's how it works. And all of our guys have performed very well this year, and Joseph on top of that with an outstanding season. As far as the media goes, that has been pretty nice to see. Each year at every cup, it grows a little bit more. I think people are a little bit extra excited that it's in Atlanta because they see the atmosphere. People want to experience this. They want to be a part of the MLS Cup here in Atlanta. So I think that's it's been a little bit more enticing to get media here, or get people here around the city because of what the fans and what the city has created here in Atlanta United and at the stadium atmosphere.
And a lot of part of that is due to you and Darren Eales.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been there's a lot more people that have put in a ton of work behind the scenes. We tend to get the FaceTime or the glory, whatever you want to call it, but it's been just an army of people here behind the scenes. And one of the best parts about the club that we work for is everybody in the building is pulling in the same direction, and we're all pushing for the same goal. And just the type of people we have working for are selfless. They'll roll up their sleeves, do what we have to do. We were a startup company, for lack of a better word, a couple of years ago, and people have that mentality. But it's really everyone inside the building, the culture, the spirit, the hard work, just really having good people in our facility day in and day out, that transfers over onto the field, and that's helped with our success.
How dangerous can Diego Valeri and Sebastian Blanco be?
They can be very dangerous, but I think someone that goes a little bit under the radar for Portland in general when their team is spoken about is Diego Chara. So he's one of their central midfielders. But my man can run, kick, fight, scrap, and he's got an engine that doesn't quit. So he's someone for sure we're going to have to keep an eye on. I think he's the engine that drives their team behind Valeri, Polo, and Blanco, like you spoke about. But, really, Chara, for me, is going to be an important factor. He'll be, whether he's matching up Miguel or someone in the midfield, and also he joins into the attack. So he's a dangerous guy for them. We have to keep an eye on.
Carlos, since we're talking about the game here, what do you expect in terms of how, if you think back to the 1-1 tie in regular season between Timbers and United, what kind of a game plan do you think Timbers are going to come out with, at least initially? What do you expect United to do?
Yeah, it's a good question. The championship games are always difficult, right? The one-offs, you don't know what the other team's going to do. You don't know how the game's going to go. I think the first 10, 15 minutes are going to be a little bit hectic. It's going to be nervy, both sides kind of settling into the game. And look, we'll see if Portland comes out and sits back a little bit like they did when they played us, or if they want to play us a little bit more straight up and have more of an open game. So, like always, it's going to be a chess match, but I think for sure you'll see kind of first 10, 15 minutes a nervy game, and then everybody will settle in, and hopefully it's a good game of soccer that the people can enjoy.
We were talking with Mike Connie about this yesterday, Carlos Bocanegra joining us live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, about how it's been interesting in a way that, you know, here's Tata Martino's final game tomorrow. And in a lot of cases when a manager or a coach who's as beloved and respected as Tata has been, as instrumental as he's been, announces that he is leaving for whatever reason, and in this case, of course, he's going to go, we all believe, to Mexico to become the national coach, that becomes a distraction. Not only has it not been a distraction for United, in a lot of ways it seems like it's been kind of a rallying point.
Oh, look, I think the guys have used it as something to, yeah, you can say rally behind, but I think in professional sports this just happens a lot. We're in a good way. It wasn't like we were teetering on having a good season or a bad season. We had momentum. We're in a rhythm. We've been doing this for 2 years. You know, his announcement comes out, and it's just in professional sports, people leave. You know, he can tell you, you make friends, and then they go the next week sometimes, or at the end of the season, people move teams. So it's very common, and I think these guys are grown up, and they're big boys, and they get that part of the business. So they just kept going. And, you know, yeah, I guess a little bit of a rallying, and they all want to win it. Everybody wants to win and put a championship you know, kind of under their belt, and then also for the city. So I don't think these guys really let it get to them. It was almost like, well, let's finish this thing off more.
Yeah, and indeed, and whoever comes in next got some big shoes to fill, I'll say that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, what we've been able to achieve here in the short amount of time, we get to go from strength to strength now, and hopefully we can improve on the good work that the club has done, the good work that Tata's done and his staff. And now the next staff that comes in, you know, we take it to the next level. But we've got to try to keep improving year after year. And I'm already talking about that. We still have one more game left.
All right. So to directly back to tomorrow night, you expect what you get out of the MVP, and hopefully he can do his thing. You expect what you're going to get about the guy that finished second in the MVP voting, and Miggy Almiron, and what he brings in terms of you know, the speed and the playmaking that Miggy brings. But as you look, starting from like Joseph and working back to Guzan, where do you think Atlanta United must excel to win the game? Midfield with Nagby, you know, defensive line with LGP, in goal with Brad. What other part of the area has to excel for Atlanta United to win tomorrow night?
Yeah, so, you know, internally, I've said this all year long, and when we talk amongst the staff, if we have 11 guys playing their game and they're on for that game, so to speak, we feel like we can beat anybody in the league. Doesn't matter if they give us their best. When we're at our best and we're mentally locked in and each guy on the field gives the performance that we know he can give, we feel like we can beat anybody. So I think at the playoffs, especially against New York City away the first leg, we just had an excellent team performance defensively in the midfield, up top. We got that 1-0 win up there. You come back, you have another team performance. Then Red Bull at home, big team performance from everybody. Again, against Red Bull away, just had to dig in and fight, and it was real ugly, but just the group got behind each other, and everyone fought to a man. And that's what it's going to take again tomorrow. We have the talent. We have the skill. You know, we're prepared. We're ready to roll. So it's just mentally, if we come and physically and bring our game that we know we can, we feel very good about our chances.
Well, all I can say, Carlos, from Hugh and AT and the whole crew, Daryl and Wendy, everybody here on our show, is not only best of luck, but I certainly hope that on Monday morning your phone is ringing and you're going, oh, no, those guys want to talk to me again. Yeah, Carlos, we want to talk to you because you just won.
Let's hope so, guys. Look, we're really excited. We'd love to bring a championship to Atlanta. The city has been fantastic to us ever since we've gotten here. We'd love to reward them with that. But I'll tell you what, it is going to be a spectacular atmosphere and a big, big game here on Saturday night, and we're pumped up for it.
Thank you, Carlos. Best of luck, and knock them dead, Carlos.
Thanks, guys.
All righty, Carlos Bocanegra joining us this morning on the WaveForward.com hotline. Yeah, hopefully we're bugging him, Hugh, on Monday morning, you know, waking him up, going, Carlos, come on, you got to come on the show, because we're all excited about having another championship here in town. I think he's right, by the way, when he says that, you know, hey, when we're on our game and all 11 guys, whether it's, you know, Greg Garza or Nagby or LGP or Parkhurst, Lorenowitz, Gressel, everybody, if we got all 11 in concert, we're the best team in the league.
And yeah, they that's the reason why they're favorite, John. Number one was their speed and the way that they play. So, yeah, it looks good, man. I'm telling you, I cannot wait till this match starts. It's going to be an exciting time, and I'm with you on that. It's going to be a great time Sunday morning, right before the Falcons play, when we making that announcement that, you know, Atlanta United our MLS Cup champions. That's going to be awesome.
We're going to get the national picture. The play-by-play voice for national TV is John Strong. He is going to join us in the next segment. We're going to get kind of the national picture on what we expect, because I have some questions about, too, about, you know, will this be the highest-rated MLS game of all time? I'm kind of curious if that may be the case. You can get your weekend started right with Dukes of Bell, 2 and 7 today. They're at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. You can join the guys to kind of get warmed up for the Atlanta United game. Twin Peaks and Buckhead, they're kind of Peachtree and Piedmont from 2 to 7 at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Next up, John Strong, the man who is calling the game, who also knows a little bit about the Portland Timbers. That's ahead with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game as we get geared up for a Falcons weekend, for a Hawks and United weekend. Of course, the MLS Cup, the big story of the weekend with the game tomorrow night. Our coverage begins at 6 with the kickoff at 8 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And by the way, if you're looking for the Hawks and Nuggets, they're going to be on our sister station, Star 94. Let's get a little bit of a national picture in all of this. I know that we get you and I and everybody in town gets caught up in our local picture here, but a national picture from the man who's going to be calling the game, Fox Soccer commentator John Strong, who's joining us this morning on the wait4.com hotline. Morning to you, John.
Good morning, guys. Hello from a few miles up the highway.
John, tell us a little bit about what your impression is in terms of the impact broadly of this particular game, because it's going to set a record for the biggest crowd ever at an MLS Cup final. That's something we're certainly proud of here in Atlanta. But will that translate into big monster TV ratings, do you think?
We hope so, certainly in context to MLS ratings. You know, when we 2 years ago we did this where we moved MLS Cup to the second Saturday of December, and the point being it's the Saturday after the end of the college football season, so there's just less traffic, there's less stuff going on primetime on a Saturday night, and that got the best rating for an MLS Cup in about 15 years, and that was with a Canadian team. That was Toronto against Seattle, and so I think certainly the hope and the expectation is that to have Atlanta, which has been such a wonderful story the last 2 years in American soccer, certainly even in a general sports context in this country, people notice when they're 70,000 plus, but not just that the fans are in the building, the atmosphere, the noise, the color, and what we also hope is going to be a really good game as well, as good as Atlanta have been offensively the last 2 years and as well primed as they are for this opportunity, that Portland as well, champions 3 years ago who have had success all three rounds in the playoffs, they have advanced on the road, that we think this could be a pretty special final. And you guys certainly understand how, you know, as a game is going on, social media sort of grows and grows and people are hearing about this and they tune in. So we're very excited for what could be really a special night in American soccer tomorrow night here in Atlanta.
You know, I'm just kind of curious from your perspective, why do you think all of a sudden now that this was the right time for soccer to catch on in America?
Well, I can give you an hour-long answer to that question in truth, and I'll try to cut it down, but I think a lot of it is just generational. I mean, I was growing up as a kid in the early 90s, and we all played soccer, but none of us were soccer fans. There was no soccer to be a fan of, really. And so, you know, you have these keystone moments. The 94 World Cup gets on people's radar. For someone of my age, it was the FIFA video games on my Nintendo 64. Starting to have, in the real big growth of cable and satellite television, that there was soccer on TV you could watch. And so it grows and it grows. And I always share the anecdote that, yeah, when I was a kid, we didn't play soccer on the playground at school. We weren't fans of the team. And I go past, there's an elementary school we live by now, and those kids are all playing soccer on the playground, and they're wearing soccer jerseys. And certainly my son is being raised with as much soccer around him as, he's 5 years old, anyone else, you know, around the world. So it's growth. It's generational in the same way as, you know, I always say that, you know, the NFL was not always the most popular league. There was a time when the NBA was sort of a small regional thing. It, you know, sports in America, they grow and they change and they evolve. And by the way, there's no guarantees about the growth of soccer. That was something even sitting down with Arthur Blank in his office yesterday. He talked about needing to still make the right decisions and do the right things for its growth. But this is a great mile marker that in a city like Atlanta, in a part of the country that a lot of us, myself included, didn't think that soccer was popular, that you're going to have 72,000 for a championship game. It's pretty special.
Talking with John Strong, who's going to be calling the game for Fox on national TV with Stuart Holden tomorrow night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with John and Hugh. John, you used to do the Portland Timbers, so you can give us a unique kind of insight into a lot of fans who might know, not because it's not like Atlanta United's been around long, nor did they have a long and lengthy history with the Portland Timbers, save for that 1-1 tie earlier in the year. The two reigning MVPs, Diego Valeri and now Joseph Martinez, what do you expect? What kind of a game, what can the fans expect to see out of Portland as they try and slow down Atlanta United?
Well, you know, Portland, it's easy to get hung up on the fact they're the number 5 seed in the Western Conference, and I think that's a little bit of a misnomer based on how their season went this year. And the long story short for them is they got off to a very slow start because of stadium construction. They played the first month and a half of the season away from home. And they figured things out in the spring, but then, you know, as the season went along, they got a little bit too defensive. The losses started to pile up, and so they've actually changed the way that they've played over the course of the season. In the same way as Atlanta has changed their style a bit in the playoffs, becoming not more defensive, but just a little bit more direct, a little bit more pragmatic, a little bit less worried about how it looks, and a little bit more worried about getting the results, Portland has changed from what had earlier this season been a very defensive style, and certainly that was their mindset when they came to Atlanta in June, to being a bit more aggressive. Certainly still looking to get out on the counterattack and be very quick in the attack. And with, you mentioned Diego Valeri, the reigning MVP, Sebastian Blanco, who grew up with Valeri, they played in the same club in Argentina as kids, has been very effective this postseason. They have been much more willing to be more aggressive defensively in the playoffs than they had been earlier. They're very confident because they point to the fact that in the playoffs they went on the road to Dallas and won. They went on the road to Seattle and won in a shootout. They went on the road to Kansas City, and they won in the Western Conference Championship. And so they really feel like the noise, they have noise. They have great crowds in Portland. The artificial surface, they have the same turf in Portland. There's nothing here that they don't feel that they can deal with. However, in saying that, Atlanta do have an extra gear offensively, and not even just the players they start with, Almirón and Joseph Martinez, but bringing off the bench Hector Villalba and Ezequiel Barco, those are two players that would be starting for any other team in this league, that they come off the bench for Atlanta. So that is where I would be wary if I'm Portland. Certainly a hot start. You can see the goal early. The place is going bonkers. Now you're on your heels. But also, as the game stretches on, 70 minutes, 80 minutes, your legs are tired. It's been a long season. And now all of a sudden you have game changers coming off the bench for Atlanta. That's where for Portland you have to make sure that when those one or two opportunities come up, and you're going to get your chances, but there's not going to be many, you got to make sure you take them. Because if you're doing too much defending in this game tomorrow at night, Atlanta have a lot of different ways they can wear you down.
You know, we know about Valerian and Blanco, but what does Diego Chara bring to the table?
Diego Char is a fascinating player. So he was the first really big-name designated player that Portland signed right when they came into the league in 2011. And he was one of the very early players from South America that chose to come to MLS, chose to come to the United States, and really has opened the floodgates. And certainly you see the way Atlanta has built their roster from South America. Char is a fascinating player. He is one of the smallest players on the field. He leads the league since he entered the league in 2011. No one has committed more fouls. No one has gotten more yellow cards. And yet he does them with this big smile of his. You'll notice that on the field a lot, that he gets this big smile on his face when he hacks through a player. And yet he also has the ability, and that's been a bit of a change in how Portland has played. They've been letting him get more forward in the attack, and he'll make these big runs forward. He only scores one or two goals a year. But he's someone, exactly like you said, you focus on the big boys in front, and then here comes this little Colombian, Diego Chara, running up from behind, and he's unmarked, and he bangs one in. So this is a team, Portland, that has more than half of their starting lineup returning from the team that won the championship 3 years ago. And so that's why I say, when they're not going to be overly intimidated by what they're facing in Atlanta, Diego Chara is a great example of that.
Well, we look forward to the game, John. It's going to be a lot of fun. Packed house. Going to be a magical night. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes.
And we're so excited for tomorrow as well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, it is John Strong calling the game for Fox on national TV tomorrow night.